All right, everyone. You knew this was coming. Episode 27, the Rudy Gobert episode, and only the Rudy Gobert episode, and Jamal Murray. I'll shout out Jamal Murray. But let's be honest.
I ain't shouting anyone out. My head hurts.
If your head hurts, this is the shit hit the fan episode. Luckily not to us, because your boys, Reeks from Barstool and Ben Brust, we were not subpoenaed today. We're not part of any allegations yet.
Shout out to any college coach who's sweating their ass off.
Oh, dude, episode. I can't imagine. I sent a message to our guy, Rick Carter, and it was just like, so do you think the feds listened to your episode on Fundamentally Sound to know that Ed Cooley was clean? Because the story you had of going to the diner to New York with the guy signing him the request for cash and just getting up and leaving.
Well, you should stop, because now you've made it public twice now.
Hey, he made it public too.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That's a clean story. That's what the world needs to hear. We are your resources for clean stuff. Like, we are purists who just think college players should get paid.
Oh, gosh, what a day. This turned into Big Ten preview, into scrap the Big Ten preview.
Sorry,
too much to go into.
Sorry, Big Ten, you're later.
We're still going to keep our guest, Jordan Cornett, who's coming on,
Yeah. Who
is going to be a good voice to have.
Another player who went through the recruiting process.
Correct. I wonder if he'll have some good stories to tell us as well.
Yeah, and, you know, like I was telling people today, man, like, obviously we went on two very different recruiting paths, you and me. At the D2, D3, D3 level, guess what? Things happen that's not supposed to happen.
And you know what? I'm a 6'1", 6'2", white guy. Yeah. My recruiting stories are going to be way different than Jordan Cornett, who's a 6'9", black guy. No, like,
good.
That's just the that's just the honest truth.
Yeah, he was good.
He was.
So we're going to. What was that?
And I was just saying, he's our guest, and he was good.
Yeah. So we're going to get into it with Jordan. Obviously, ton of stuff to get into, but we wanted to quickly hop on, just the two of us, to lead into what's going on today. Obviously, we were talking about the Big Ten. That's going to get. Well, there will be a Big Ten episode, just not today, not this week. Obviously, with everything going on in the college basketball world right now, the sixth priority, as I'm sure most people want to listen to, because this is it's unheard of what we're experiencing today. So,
and I have a lot of questions, a lot of confusion, a lot of opinions. Like, I'm literally all over the map.
Man, I felt like Will Ferrell during Old School, where he debates and blacks out, because I was just like, I was reading all the affidavits, like writing down notes, like I didn't go to law school. I was watching the press conference, like, yeah, I know what that word means.
Yeah, I honestly feel like in the sports world in general, and in the world in general, with our president and what's been going on in sports, I honestly feel like I'm living in a dream right now. Like, all this shit can't be real.
Yeah, like my shitty ass weekend with Kentucky losing by one with me in person, and then the Giants losing on a 61-yard goddamn field goal to the Eagles, my least favorite NFL team in the world.
That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story. So, but this is to the
we're
point.
We're in a fantasy world.
Of the chaos. We're all in shock. Jordan Cornett, this is the interview. I need to move on. This is
Let's get into it.
And let's bring him in.
Let's get into it. This is our episode with Jordan Cornett. We'll probably hop on again at the end, Ben and I, for a couple of thoughts afterwards. So, but again, this interview with Jordan Cornett, former Notre Dame basketball player, current radio personality in Chicago.
The personality.
So, definitely worth the listen. Again, Jordan Cornett. All right, now, like we said, our interview with Jordan Cornett. Jordan, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? Good to be on here with you. Fan of the podcast? Now admit it.
Yeah, and it's a hell of a day to come join it, that's for sure.
I know. Slow news day, huh?
Yeah, seriously. I was sitting there. It's one of those, like, I'll always remember where I was. Cause I was sitting there, and I was literally charting points per possession in pick and roll the last 5 years. And got a text message like, go look online right this second. And I was like,
well, hold on.
That's
hold on,
a scary
on.
Text again.
Please make fun of him for the pick and roll.
I think the weird part, Bobby, is what you were doing before you got interrupted.
It was because I was getting ready to write an article on pick and roll offense over the last, like, what teams have been good.
This doesn't make
sense. Okay, so is that something if you drop right now, there's an appetite for it? Or do you think, like, maybe that's a January, February, maybe even December thing? Like, no, you think right people now, are hungry man, for that slow. Right now?
People want to bet on overs. You got to know what team can score. People want to bet on overs heading into the early. You got the early season tournaments. You want to do those day game overs.
I mean, I love that you cater to the degenerates this early. I think that's a huge market. It's an untapped one.
Well, see, usually there's nothing else going on this time of the year.
You think he's catering to the degenerates, but he's really just catering to his inner need to be a nerd towards that.
Every now and again, like in season, I'll be like, man, I need a really specific nugget. And I'll go to Barstool Regs and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. I'll roll with that. Nobody's covering that.
It's because I literally just sit there and I'll just export like Synergy or KenPom stuff to Excel and then just mess around in Excel and be like, huh, well, there's something.
Last week,
X Videos, get Pornhub or something. Like, there's
I can't
other
do
ways.
That when I'm sitting at work.
But you could, but that'd be weird.
Yeah, that'd be a deal. Yeah,
that'd get you. That might have the FBI.
I was gonna say I'm about to join some people. So I mean, we're gonna get right into it. You guys both played high Division I. You know, the general consensus I think was everyone knew this stuff was going on to a degree, but I there was still a sense of shock and not that it got exposed, but the fact that it was the FBI that exposed it versus NCAA. What was your guys' reaction as former players?
I don't get it. I truly don't get it. Like, what are they going to charge these assistant coaches with from a like law perspective? Like, what is the charge? What are they going to be prosecuted by? Like, this is stuff that's been going on for so long and outside of college basketball. I'm just lost on what the FBI is going to be like. You're in trouble. This is what you're arrested for. You're going to jail for. Maybe we should have brought on a freaking lawyer to walk me through what they could potentially charge these assistant coaches with. We all know this has been going on for so long. You go back to when it was dirty and shady in the 80s to when it's a little more crystal clear now. I mean, we've had stories on our podcast already from an assistant coach, Rick Carter, who's told us stories back when he was there coaching and Ed Cooley and all this nonsense. But why is the FBI involved? Why not the NCAA? The NCAA statement sucked. It didn't really do anything for me. I don't know. I feel like I need to be educated on something because I've listened to a lot of people talk about this too. And I feel like they need to be educated because it's just confusing. I'm lost why the FBI is involved. Does anybody even know?
I mean, look, I don't pretend to be a legal analyst by any means. I think that's something I probably need to dive deeper into. But I think about, you know, the games being fixed. I think that was the early 90s with Arizona State. And that guy got put behind bars, the guy who was fixing games, the point guard. So, I mean, that says to me there's a distinct correlation with, you know, basically violating the rules of the NCAA, which I guess is there's bylaws or something within it that it becomes very illegal if you play outside the lines. And I think when you look at a guy like Chuck Person, who – and I haven't seen the most recent reports, but I think it said he was making up to $90,000 off some of this stuff that he was getting that was – that the cash was changing hands. And I mean, when you're influencing, I mean, this is the thing, maybe getting away from how the FBI became involved. Clearly it's legal, but this is supposed to be a game. And they talk about amateurism and they talk about players shouldn't be paid. And they talk about, you know, this is different than professional sports. Why go to Notre Dame for these football Saturdays? And I see a different building put up because clearly it's from the Notre Dame football team and some of Notre Dame basketball. And you see the big business involved, and now you see these coaches are literally putting their desires first, padding their own pockets, and trying to alter and sway the future of some of these talented kids and put them in a place that may not be the best place for them with a specific agent or particular agent because it puts money in their pockets. So now these kids aren't getting used on just the institutional level. It's now self-serving to these assistant coaches, and I truly believe there's not a head coach that's not aware of this. Any of the indictments that come on these assistant coaches, it's a direct correlation of the head coach. And Ben, you played, man. I played. There's nothing Bo Ryan did not know when you were there. Nothing.
100,000% agree. It would be blasphemy for any head coach to stand up in a press conference and say that they did not know about it. It will be the most hypocritical bullshit statement I've ever heard in my life. It would actually drive me to want to punch him in the face. Like,
well, I will
on.
Say this, though. I do have to interrupt for 1 second. I think Bo Ryan knew everything you were doing, but clearly you didn't know everything Bo Ryan was doing, which is a conversation for another time.
Zing.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. Like, because let's face it, like, who's the face of this right now? It's Rick Pitino, right? In Louisville.
Oh,
like, that's the name that's coming out. And I'm in, you know, and I've been talking about this with other people too, and I'm still in a little bit of the minority with the hooker scandal that I don't think Pitino knew to the degree of what was going
on. Come
on. I don't think he did, because there's a great point made by Brian Snow in, if Pitino was getting the hookers, he's not getting local guys, local hookers. He's going Miami. He's going Vegas. He's going New York.
That's the argument.
That's a money trail. You can't
a money trail for everything. I don't think he knew to the degree of what was going on. That for this, you know what's going on. When there is serious money being involved, $100,000 to pay for play, every head coach knows what's going on, because you know the assistant coaches. You know who you're recruiting, especially when it's a top 10 guy, a top 20 guy.
They know everything.
Yeah,
they know everything from hookers to payments to what shoes their players are wearing. They know everything. That's why they are head coaches, and that's why they are in the position they're at today.
100%, Ben. And Bobby, come on, man. These are 17-year-old recruits. Going back to your comment, they're 17-year-old recruits, man. You don't have to go high class and go top notch and bring in Vegas. You bring in any naked girl. They haven't seen many of them, and it works.
Right.
And the whole thing is, he shouldn't have survived that. Rick Pitino should have never – he shouldn't have survived the tryst in the restaurant and the abortion that was paid for. He's supposed to be a leader of young men. I would never send my 10-year-old son to go play at the University of Louisville as long as he's a coach there, because morality doesn't matter. Then you have the prostitution thing go on. Okay, he didn't know about that. You can't tell me this is now the third thing. 100K has changed hands, and this guy doesn't know about it?
Yeah,
this must be the most successful and powerful coach to not be aware of what's going on in his program. It's unheard of.
I thought his statement today tonight actually just came out, was laughable. He said, oh, there's a couple bad actors. And it's like, man, you knew what was going on. Like, you put out the tweets about how you didn't get – how you got Bruce Bowen – or Brian Bowen out of nowhere, an AAU director called you. Bowen played for Mean Streets. That's a Nike AAU program. Louisville is an Adidas program. Nike's not calling Adidas to get Bowen over there. He's at the forefront of it. And I agree with you. There's zero chance he survives us.
Zero chance he survives it, does it come to its – biggest head ever, and does he get let go by the
university? Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, he's getting fired. I think he gets fired tomorrow.
I've seen rumblings, seen ramblings, I've seen hints, but he's escaped so much. I hate to want to be like, yeah, he's getting fired, because you never know with him.
But now,
I gotta admit, I'm so deep in Bears and Cubs right now, and obviously I pay incredibly close attention to this. But where does Bowen stand now? Is he still at the University of Louisville? That's a part I haven't seen.
As far as I saw today, because I wish I could credit the guy's name on Twitter, Louisville Reporter, who was doing a lot of the breaking Louisville side of the story, called, reached out, and as far as we know, there hasn't been a change in eligibility or anything like that for Bowen.
Okay. Now, here's – I think they go hand in hand. If Bowen's eligible – then they've never really proved anything, so Pitino stays. If Bowen never puts on the jersey at Louisville, Pitino's gone.
But here's
the thing.
And I
think those two are a tandem.
With this being such a delay, because there's going to be some, you know, when you get into the FBI and everything like that, where there's going to be appeals and things like that, let's say Bowen's playing through an appeal, but it comes out that he did accept it. Do you think Pitino's still able to coach throughout the year during the appeal process?
I think if this coach is arrested by the FBI, I think with so much that's happened for Pitino, even at that university, which puts morality below everything, I think at that point, when you hear the three letters in the acronym FBI and that institution's involved, it becomes a whole new ball game. And if somebody on his staff has been arrested by the FBI,
well, that's the thing.
It's got to be it.
A Louisville staff member hasn't. That's the thing. It's been So it was Oklahoma State, Auburn.
Oh yeah, this is not an FBI thing. You're right.
Right,
this
like it was part of it was part of the report, but a Louisville staff member was not indicted. It was just part of the findings.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's very important to point out. And I think that all just goes to this is all so new. And what I said on ESPN Radio today about the whole thing was there's going to be such an intense, flagrant domino effect to this whole thing that you just have to wait and see exactly how far the 6 degrees of separation connects players to coaches to former places those coaches were at to relationships, to AAU programs. It's going to be a lot of stuff to fall out with this.
Yeah, because well, go ahead, Ben.
The FBI basically said, hey, you best turn yourself in to us because it'll be way worse if we come to you. And the FBI's undefeated.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Doesn't it feel a lot like – this was my initial knee-jerk reaction. Doesn't it feel like the steroid witch hunt? Doesn't it feel just like that in the late 90s and into the 2000s where –
the Mitchell report.
They try to bust a few guys. And I mean, Bobby, Ben, weren't you sitting there like, okay, you're just going to get these six guys?
What about these other 300 guys
over here? And you just can't pin down every one. Every program might have some infraction to a degree. Let's just be honest, to a degree.
Yeah,
I don't think any program is completely clean. There's just levels to cheating. When cash
changes
hands,
I would go as far down as D3. Like when I was going on recruiting visits for D2, D3, things happen that are, quote, not supposed to happen.
Yeah, like
that's how it is.
I said four schools. That's it, four schools, Auburn, Oklahoma State, Arizona, USC, that's it?
Right.
That's where we're stopping?
Did you go through any stories, Jordan?
What's that?
Did you go through any recruiting stories?
No, you know, a lot of people called me, texted me, and even was asked on the radio by callers about it. I mean, for me, I think it's easy. You sniff it out and you get a sense of what the story is. And I came from an upper middle class home. I was lucky enough to have a car when I got my license at 16. I never went without anything. Christmases were pretty good in my household. I was put in a position to succeed. And because of that, I think when I stepped into these coaches' offices, they knew that wasn't a game they had to play.
Right.
You were like,
so
right.
I was never.
Yes. We got this 6'9 athlete. We don't have to like drive his family. They probably
Yeah, sell. He's going to get into school. He's going to pass the SAT with flying colors. He's going to get good marks. He fits all the criteria. And yeah, I mean, I was a top 100 guy. And I think if you're top 100, I was like 75th ranked player. Like those guys get cash. There are guys that got cash.
Yeah.
And I will say this because I don't know if you guys are too respectful not to ask this, but I never saw any of that at Notre Dame. None of my teammates were ever involved in any money being exchanged. And I would blow the whistle. I would. I'm a loose cannon. If I saw that, I'd say it. I've seen nothing of the sort at Notre Dame during my time. That's just what it is.
I think the one thing to keep an eye on with this is in reading the reports and the affidavits is when you're talking about this $100,000 pay for play, which is what I think the feds are really going after are these large fish, you're talking top 10 talents. That's where I think the names you're going to start seeing coming out because, I mean, we've all mentioned it in some capacity. What happened today is just the beginning.
You've seen the mob movies, though. Come on. You see Goodfellas, you see Godfathers. There's always a rat. So what happens with these programs that have been caught? They're gonna rat out other programs.
The thing is though that
they don't want to go down by themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Because here's the thing to remember though is there's still from the federal case, there still has to be a trail. Like, you know, Ben, if you were one of these assistant coaches and you went in and say, well, I don't like Notre Dame because of Jordan, you can't just say, well, Mike Bray cheated. There has to be some sort of trail.
You don't think they can break off an AAU coach or a guy from around the way or a cousin and say, hey, can you give me some text messages? Can you show me some money that's been dropped here? That happens.
I got 10K for
so
you, right?
Easily.
See, I think you'll see that more in the NCAA side. But in the federal side, I think you'll see because it's just two completely different animals.
Yeah, but who cares? Let's take away the federal side. Like, we're in the sports realm. So let's not worry about who's getting put away here. Let's just talk about the impact it's going to have on these programs. These programs are going to be deeply affected.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about guys who've had some things to their name. Andy Enfield ain't the cleanest guy. I mean, look at Bruce Pearl. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Auburn's Bruce Pearl's involved in this? What? There's been rumblings about a guy like Sean Miller. I know Sean personally. He's a great guy, but you've heard the rumblings. And Oklahoma State, Brad Underwood left after a year. I mean, look, I'm not going to speculate, but there's an easy way to speculate with this stuff. I mean, that's just what it is.
Yeah, you look at those names, and you're not shocked by any means necessary. Underwood, especially, do you think, like, this is kind of like when Cal left Memphis. Did he leave at the right time to go to Illinois now to start this new identity that he's got now? He's going to have to create a new identity. Otherwise, this will stay with him forever.
I don't think you can compare Memphis to Kentucky as Oklahoma State to Illinois. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame.
I'm comparing the parallel of, like, the jump of, like, images that Calipari had to change because he had so much negativity on what he did for Memphis.
Yeah, and at the same time, we don't want to speculate. Brad Underwood could be clean as a whistle.
Right.
He also may have left because of what we heard. He didn't get along with the administration at Oklahoma State. He felt like they weren't committed to winning.
Why do you think he didn't get along with the rest?
He wasn't getting paid. He was getting paid next to nothing in terms of coaching.
And he got paid royally at Illinois.
And Illinois is like a top 25 coaching job.
Yeah, so we got to caution before we throw him under the bus. I'm just saying it's easy to buzz. It's easy to connect dots that haven't been connected yet, but you got to wait and see because there's definitely a high level of intrigue because I do believe these universities are going to have to come down swiftly with the hammer if this thing persists. I mean, this is the FBI, and the FBI with this investigation is going to be thorough with it. And it's going to tie the hands of administrations that are going to have to make decisions with coaches. New coach at Oklahoma State. Relatively new coach at USC.
The FBI is involved now. What is – and this could be a complete guess. What is going to be the outcome to these coaches? And like, are they going to go get jail time? Like,
who hired these assistant
how
coaches?
How real is this?
We know how it works. Who hires assistant coaches?
The head coach and the athletic director.
Okay. So both those people are in trouble if this thing becomes a criminal situation.
What is in
and
trouble?
The FBI finds these assistants.
You've seen colleges in trouble. They miss a postseason. They get scholarships taken away. That's what I'm saying. The FBI is involved. So what is trouble now?
I think the fact that we're talking FBI, that makes it trouble now.
Right.
And yeah, I just want to know what that trouble is. Like, I'm ready for some, like, some breaking, like, this guy.
I mean, all four assistant coaches were bailed out of jail today. Like, they were in jail today.
Wow. What was bail? Do you know?
I think it was all undisclosed amounts. I'm sure it was a pretty hefty price because it's white collar crime. And that's a lot of money.
Those guys aren't built for prison. I mean, come on.
Right. Federal prison, too.
I don't know, maybe the rifleman is pretty tough. I don't know. Maybe the rifleman will be all right.
Yeah, at least like Chuck Parsons can go out and like he could start like at the three in some pickup games. But from the NCAA side, which is I think what we should focus on because no one here is a lawyer. I mean, I pretended to be like I told Ben I felt like Will Ferrell in Old School, like during the debate scene. Right, I just passed out from like 10 o'clock to like 3 o'clock after I was reading all this stuff and watching the presser, like, all right, I feel pretty confident in my law skills now. From the NCAA side, if you read the affidavits, every school was, quote, not mentioned. Like, Louisville was never mentioned, but they said a Kentucky school with an enrollment of X amount, all you have to do is Google it. You can see it was Louisville. They did it, too, with Miami, who seems to be kind of flying a little bit under the radar right now. Because they mentioned
good for Miami. It's about time they caught a break.
Right. But, like, they mentioned a private school in Florida with 16,000 enrollment. That's Miami. They're not even being talked about right now, which is kind of crazy. Like, what happens to them? Because that's something I want to look at is, here's a school that's a top 10 program this year, preseason top 10.
What happens is, it's pretty simple. The FBI's involved. The NCAA pretty much...
They're not the FBI. You have to take out the FBI with Louisville and Miami.
Take it out for a second. The NCAA just put them on a silver platter to be investigated.
Right, but the thing is, Jordan brought up the NCAA. How long do you think this process takes for a school like Miami?
I mean, look at Syracuse when they were under investigation with Boeheim and everything that went on. It lasts forever. Look at Carolina.
I was just about to say, look at North Carolina.
I don't even know what the end result of Carolina is.
There hasn't been an end result.
it's minimal. You know, here's two other broad-reaching questions or things to focus on is, A, the college game, as we know it, is taking a hit. College hoops is not as featured. It's not as watched as it's been in years past. A lot of people argue the product isn't what it used to be. The three of us love it dearly, but that's not the mainstream opinion towards college basketball. They're doing all these things to change it by trying to speed up the tempo, by trying to add more offense, and it's helped. But the college game still has a long way to go to bring its fan base back to that, its mainstream, but to get those numbers to the level they want them to be in terms of viewership. Can we all agree there?
I agree.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think...
Okay, so with this, is this going to be something that forces the hands of administration to put all these programs that we've come to know and love under restriction, and as the programs grow with this investigation, could this cripple college basketball? I'm nervous about that. That was one of my real true worries when I first saw this thing. Not oh, this is salacious. I was thinking, oh, no, not our game. Not basketball. I don't know if we can overcome this. You look at what's going on with the NFL in a vastly different arena, but I look at college basketball and I think, oh, man, I hope this doesn't hurt it. And then lastly, another thing that I thought about is be curious to watch how the pundits and the analysts and the voices of college basketball cover this thing. Because you know what college basketball is based on, and you guys know this, relationships. Rick Pitino's connected. Roy Williams connected. People are friends with Enfield. Bruce Pearl was in the studio before he got back into coaching. Nobody wants to call these guys out. People know what they know about these programs. But you ain't going to hear them say it on camera because they can't do that. This is one of the worst-kept secrets in all of sports. Everybody knows cheating goes on all over the place. But nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it, and it won't be covered to the degree it needs to be because people won't feel comfortable calling out those guys they have such close relationships with going to practices, which covering these teams, and openly talking about them and inviting them onto their networks to cover games.
I will go back to what you said about what?
I was just going to say, who would be a guy that would call out people in college basketball? Because a lot of the analysts, like you said, are former coaches. You got the Seth Greenberg. You got Jay Williams.
You think Seth's going to call somebody out? Seth's going to call somebody out?
No. He was once that guy.
You don't think he has stories? You think you're going to hear those on ESPN?
Dockich will call somebody out.
Dockich won't do it to the degree he probably could. Because you know what he does? Calls games in the Big Ten. He's going to say anything about a Big Ten school? You don't mess with somebody's money. Dockich is a loose cannon. He still ain't going to speak on this one.
He still likes his income he gets every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. for his ESPN.
All of them do. And I'm not hating on him. I get it.
I don't either. I just want someone to be like, we need like a college basketball insider who, we need like a Woj who just.
It's a one-time gig then, Ben. Then they're out afterwards.
You better have a backup plan.
It's a one and done.
But maybe this has opened it up. Maybe this has been, this is the chance for the one, for that one reporter who wants to be that guy.
Ben, it'd be the easiest story to have broken years ago, man.
I mean, Pat Forty wrote, right. Pat Forty wrote about how Louisville should get the death penalty. And Forty's been in bed with Louisville forever. And it was like, whoa, is Forty drunk right now? Like that was a reaction. It's like, is he okay? Because he doesn't write something like this about Louisville.
Yeah.
But you're never going to get it to the degree of here's who's out there, here's what needs to happen type thing.
Yeah. So Bobby, I want to get into something. If Coach Rick Pitino truly gets fired tomorrow, I want this opinion from both of you. Does he ever land another college job? Or does he just say, you know what, I'm done, I had a run? Or does he have enough pride to want to come back and make it with a different team and prove? There's a pride thing there.
I think he'll absolutely try to coach again. But I mean, you have to be a school. It'd have to be like a I don't want to throw like a team under a bus or anything like that, but it has to be like a SWAC school or a MEAC school, you know, something really, really small that just says, screw it, we'll take Pitino, why not?
You guys are insane.
He would never
Pitino's
do that.
Pitino's 120 years old. Like, it's over.
He's never going to die, though. He's a vampire.
He's going to be a scout. He'll be a scout in the NBA, a consultant for a pro team, and it's over, man. This guy's not Bruce Pearl's age when Bruce got into serious trouble.
Does he care?
Even Samson's age when Samson got into trouble.
Does he care?
Yeah, man. Like, nobody's going to hire an 80-year-old coach with a track record like his. It doesn't matter. Because you know what he – it doesn't matter.
It's crazy that he is so successful. I think he's one of the five best just college coaches of all time. Take out sanctions just in terms of coaching. And he's going to be not welcome at Kentucky and Louisville. Like that's a pretty impressive. Yeah. That's a pretty
again,
impressive
again, Bobby. Again, I think you're nuts. That guy, his banner will be hanging from the rafters at Louisville. He'll not have to pay for a drink anywhere he goes.
I don't know.
Do you guys think anybody talks negatively of Rick? Hey, Bobby, we're from the same place. You grew up around the way from me, man. You still live there. You know how he's revered an hour and a half south of Cincinnati.
Things have started to turn.
Is different, man. You can't recover from something like this. When you embarrass your university like this.
Whoa. So bending a woman over in a restaurant and having and paying for her abortion?
People
a prostitution
can look past
ring
that
on
fans
campus?
Are dumb. Fans are dumb. They'll look past that.
If he's getting fired now?
You guys realize this is the third least worst offense.
So here's the thing.
That makes sense.
Of the
three offenses,
to normal people, not to fans.
But here's the thing. Now that the university, if they're going to take a stand and fire him, that's going to tell the fans of the university that, nope, we don't like him anymore. Nope, not welcomed. That's how it goes.
They already did it. Like, there were reports that Montrezl Harrell got declined entrance into the gym.
Hey, guys, what happened this past winter up at Amherst in UMass? Do you guys remember? You guys don't remember John Calipari, him being inducted into the Hall of Fame up at UMass and then, you know, doing a halftime ceremony and honoring him? You guys do remember that, right?
But, again, that was a Marcus Camby situation. Like, you could say that's a Marcus Camby situation.
Well, Patino's going to go down the whole time saying this is it, whatever happens with Bowen, it had nothing to do with him.
I still just think
Bowen situation.
This is bigger to me.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I think there's no titles involved in this one.
UMass went to the Final Four and got that removed. That's not even honored. There's nothing here with Louisville that's going to be impacted. They're not taking anything away.
They could take away the program. They're under probation. They're eligible
there's
for the
0% chance that happens. We all know that.
What if it does happen? What if that's
it
the
happened
case?
To SMU in football and they've regretted it every day since?
Mark Emmert's
did Baylor
weird
did
dude.
Baylor get the death penalty?
Was Baylor on probation? Because the thing is, I think you have to be on probation in order to get the death penalty. I don't think Baylor was on probation.
And Louisville's on probation right now. I don't see that in the cards for any of the programs. There's too much at stake for college basketball. The sport would be hurt by that. You can't take away a blue blood. You can't do that.
They are. They just did. Or the FBI just did. The NCAA didn't.
I mean, is Louisville a blue blood?
I think so.
I mean, maybe it's regional where I'm from.
I think Louisville's a blue blood. I mean, I grew up in the East Coast, and I knew Louisville.
Yeah.
Jordan, who are your blue bloods? Like, how many are there specifically?
I mean, there's Carolina, UCLA, Duke, Kentucky, Indiana.
Kansas. Those six?
Louisville.
And then I put the new birds in there. I think Florida's close. I think Louisville.
Florida?
I do put Florida. I think Florida's earned that over. Nah, maybe not. Okay, I put Louisville in there. It would be that fringe team. Let's act like I didn't say Florida. But yeah. UConn. UConn's another one I think about considering a blue blood. I would consider UConn near there. Syracuse, I would consider near there.
I like the six blue bloods right there and just call it a day.
I think seven. Add Louisville, I'm cool with seven.
How many chips does Louisville have? I mean, I know Q's only has one.
I think there's
three.
Hard.
Three.
Louisville has three.
So I think three chips, and Syracuse has one. I mean, that's hard to call Syracuse a blue blood.
I don't think they're a blue blood.
But it's splitting hairs. Let's not consider Louisville a blue blood, but yet still, it's a heavyweight in the college basketball landscape and has been for decades.
I want to get back to something you mentioned earlier, Jordan, in viewership kind of turning on college basketball the last couple of years. I have some thoughts on that. What do you think college basketball has to do or what has to happen to college basketball in order for the concept to change from the casual fan.
Something that's not going to happen. They'd have to change the one-and-done rule.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You can't build a brand with a revolving door. I mean, Kentucky, I mean, they stay in it because they're winning every year. But you can't buy a jersey, although you shouldn't be buying them anyway without money going to the players. But you can't really invest in a program when you don't know the players after 1 year, maybe two. So that's part one. There's no consistency with the brand. The players, it's a revolving door. Second, the execution. These kids get coached up through their freshman year. You don't get a chance to do it the next year with them. So you're constantly dealing with new players, and so the level of execution isn't there because these mastermind college coaches can't dig into these players and build a consistent, well-coached team because they're not there long enough. So you're not watching a great brand of basketball across the board. Some programs really get it done. You want to know why Notre Dame is so good? They don't have the best players. They get older in the program. You know why Wisconsin is consistently good and finishes in the top four of the Big Ten every year? They get older. Ben Bruss wasn't leaving after his sophomore year for the NBA. He became a senior, and he became really good as he got older. You got to have guys that get older in a program for them to be good. And that's why it's programs like Wisconsin and Notre Dame overachieve. Now, Wisconsin's got some blue-chip talent in the mix there with a Kaminsky and a Decker. And you see that kind of stuff. They've also had a Nigel Hayes.
He was a three-star recruit that sat out as a freshman.
Sure. Exactly. It's the same thing with Notre Dame. Like, yeah. You also had guys like Demetrius Jackson, who happened to grow up in South Bend. So he left early. But those are my main two things. It's a level of execution, and it's a revolving door of not being able to familiarize yourself with your guys because they leave early.
So you think that the average fan would like to have – that non-revolving door style where they get better over time and people stay and they're better teams. But you can make an argument that those teams are less competitive than the ones that are one and done. You can make the argument that those.
Yeah, but you start to Christian Laettner. Like, do you know the allure and do you know the attachment that there was to a guy like that who stayed for 4 years? Bobby Hurley. Like Grant Hill left early, but like Grant Hill, like you want to watch great talent stick around for a little while to really enjoy them and they become a part of you.
So what's the solution? If you get rid of one and done, what is it? Two and done?
I just don't think – I don't see how it could truly advance past what it is unless something like that happens, which will never happen.
Yeah, because the NBA protects the owners. It's all about the NBA owners. It's –
Yeah, like you can speed up the game. It's always – and there's other ways you can switch it too. Like, hey, like nobody cares about basketball in November. There's still college football going on. There's still NFL. Like you got to start – you got to start when it's all over and then you got to hit them in the head with great games. You got to change around conference tournaments or conferences in general. People don't feel like they need to watch early on in the season because it doesn't necessarily matter. And there's a way you got to – people – the whole nation cares in March, during March Madness. So how do you take that electricity and bring it to earlier in the season? That's the question. Because you can't fix it, but how?
I was going to say, do you think as awesome as NCAA tournament is, do you think it somewhat ruins the regular season? Because people go, well, all we have to do is get in, and that's all that matters.
That's why they pay attention.
Right, because to me, that's part of it. Because there are some awesome – like I'll give college basketball credit. They've tried to come up with some awesome, like, early season events, like the Champions Classic, the CBS Sports Classic, the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
What is the Indiana one? The Hardwood.
Crossroad. Right, but at the same time, do you think
Indiana Butler, Notre Dame, and
Purdue? But Purdue. Do you think the casual fan just doesn't care about them because? In the grand scheme of things, they're irrelevant to the postseason?
Yeah, I think you got to find a way to make those Jan 1 on through January, February games mean something. Because, I mean, when I played, every game mattered. And as I watch, I love the game. And I'm surrounded by guys who love the game and watch. I'm also surrounded by degenerates who like to gamble on the games. And that's what keeps them interested. But I think the casual sports fan who loves watching college football on Saturdays – and loves watching NFL on Sundays, Those are 12 six. Those are 12 games and 16 games. Like you got to be invested.
I mean,
of course, college basketball should play that amount of games, but how do you make those games meaningful outside of a Minnesota Wisconsin game to kick off Big Ten play on January 2nd?
And like,
is that a must watch for the nation?
It's better than Penn State versus, I don't know, Nebraska.
Yeah, but like, dude, we're talking Minnesota Wisconsin, and that's a rivalry. And yet, we can't even touch on those other games, like Tulane versus Southern Miss. Like, it's hard to get people excited for that, although I think it's exciting. I'm invested in that, but are the masses? So I don't know how you fix that, but you want to see Duke playing Syracuse. You want to see Indiana playing Florida. Those are the games you want to turn on every single Big Monday, Super Tuesday, a full slate on Saturday or Sunday. You just want to see primetime teams play primetime teams. And that's the only thing people are going to care about.
So do you think, and I think I would hate to see this happen, but do you think the ultimate solution is reducing the amount of teams that go from 64 to 32 in the NCAA tournament because those regular season games now mean something more because there's limited spots? But
Bobby, it's interesting, but Bob Huggins,
that was a good idea.
Bob Huggins hit me with something that
it'll never happen.
No, it'll never happen. But Bob Huggins got me thinking about something during Media Day a couple years ago. I was talking to him. Bob Huggins, family friend, Cincinnati, back in the day, we had a connection. Now he's at West Virginia, back home and doing big things there. But he said, why not make the field like 200 teams? Why not just make this – why not just start this thing earlier?
Right.
Start it in like early February and have these teams start playing. Now team seasons end a lot earlier when they're out, but maybe it's a round robin thing. Maybe they can play themselves back. Maybe it's not single elimination. Maybe just make this thing a bonanza for 2 months that really gets the focus. And then you're just playing prime time, big time matchups leading up to it. Maybe just blow this whole thing up.
It's something needs to be dramatic.
It's money. It'll never happen because of the money.
No, it won't change. But something needs to change because the way it's built today is not built for what they're competing against. And like you said, the product in college football and the product in NFL, it's a certain amount of slotted games where you ask the average fan. I was actually talking to my former teammate and best friend Josh Gosser yesterday. He goes, he could care less a little more and more about college basketball. But he'll watch the Cleveland Browns versus the Indianapolis Colts because there's something about that game that's better than your average college basketball game.
You know why I like Gosser real quick? He's number 21, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just looked like a really, like, freaky athletic white guy. Like, he just – it wasn't sneaky. I don't know what it was, but he just looked like he's bull-legged a little bit. Like, I don't know. I just felt
freaky
like
– freaky athletic? He
I
can't
felt
even,
like – no, no, no.
Do anything.
I felt like he should have been freaky athletic.
Got it.
But he wasn't. But you know what he knew how to do, which every one of you freaking guys did. He knew how to play the game, and he knew how to get to spots to be successful. I love Gosser. He made a big time shot one night. I think maybe his senior or junior year, he banked it or something like that. Do you remember this game I'm talking about?
Well, I mean, he beat Michigan on a bank shot his freshman.
Yes. Yeah, and it looked like he did it on purpose, but he didn't.
I think he was just happy it went in.
But he didn't, and it went in. But he played it like he did, and I liked him ever since then. I like Gosser. When you dropped his name right there, my name drop was Bob Huggins. Yours was Gosser, which wasn't as good, but it made me think about Gosser.
Well, I wasn't trying to name drop. I was giving an example of the –
we don't even know who your best friend is while we're trying to make some point. We're glad you're friends with an old teammate.
Yeah, sorry no one's going to be watching your random CBS sports game. Don't take it out on me.
So here's another thing I've seen tossed around. What about starting the season in the second semester once football is over? So season starts, you run –
that's
it.
A start.
Instead of March Madness, it's May Madness. So you –
that's
go
a start.
You go to, you know, December, you can start December what? 15th.
They're competing against the NBA playoffs then.
Yeah, but
which I'm fine, because what do you always want during the NBA playoffs? You don't care about every series, you
Game
care
seven.
About maybe one or two, and then you want to supplement. You want more. I always wish college basketball was going on during the NBA Finals. Because on off nights in a series like I didn't ever care about, like some random Eastern Conference series, I'd be like, man, I wish I was watching like Big East basketball.
Yeah, I mean,
man, I wish there was a good ACC game on today.
How many Cavs Hawks games can you watch?
Yeah, like you're just not into it.
Not a seven game series.
Right, that's
the thing. I think that's Bobby. I think that would be something worthwhile. I think that would be something worthwhile.
But then you lose. But I think you could keep the same schedule because you just, instead of going November to March, you're going December to May or December to April, whatever it might be. And you can still keep the same practice schedule. It's practice. Midnight Madness starts, what, November 13th?
I think you pick up after the new year. I think you pick up after the new year and run into the summer.
See, I was just thinking you hit it right. Like, you can do the – because you still can do, like, the Maui Invitation, all that over Christmas just instead of Thanksgiving.
I say you pick it all up right after – I mean, as soon as the national – like, as soon as the big bowl games end on New Year's.
New Year's, after New Year.
You give an appetite leading up to the national championship game, which is that first week of – the end of the first week of the new year for the national championship for football. And then once that's over, you just hit him in the head with great games and then get into it.
How would you feel as a college student? Just think about this for a second. If your whole second semester was the season, like would that have changed your college experience? Would you have enjoyed
it? I'd be able to go home for Thanksgiving and spend more time. Yeah. I'd be able to be home for Christmas.
Being in college
March was the worst. No,
you don't think Christmas or spring break.
You miss them all. Yeah, like Northwestern, like my buddies that played at Northwestern before Collins showed up, they booked travel for spring break every year. They knew they weren't playing in March. Are you kidding me? Those guys, like, were all their way to Aruba after the last game. Like, they didn't even worry about the Big Ten tournament. They're like, oh, we'll lose one and we'll get going. Like, we never had that opportunity.
I had one spring break one time. It was after we lost to Ole Miss. We were the 5-12 game my junior year. Went right to Vegas right after. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, that's doing it. You sure you guys didn't get paid?
Should have lost more.
Yeah, how did you go to Vegas? I wasn't an athlete, and I couldn't go to Vegas.
Yeah, right?
I saved my scholarship checks. And like Jordan, I was a high middle-class suburban kid.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
So I think how do we get the casual fan more excited for the college basketball season? Because last year it was the freshman class. Hey, these guys will play in the NBA at some point. These are good players, and they all panned out to be really good college players too. What is it this year of, hey, how do you get the casual fan excited for college basketball?
Started after football. I think that's the most feasible. Look, I threw out a lot of Hail Marys, things that you can't actually do. I think realistically you could start the season after the new year. I really think you could.
Yeah, but the way you phrased that question, Riggs, was like, how can we? I don't think we can do a thing. I think the NCAA has to change something.
I'm just saying, and we as in terms of guys that are invested in college basketball from day one to the end of the day.
Yeah, because the other thing is once you get to February, there becomes a greater interest because people need to start worrying about their brackets.
Yep.
And people do start picking up that. But good luck in November. Good luck in December.
Yeah, no, like,
doesn't even have the panache it used to have. Like,
I guarantee everyone remembers Northwestern versus Michigan at Northwestern, even though it wasn't March or March Madness.
Yeah,
is Northwestern going to get in the tournament? Is X team going to get in the tournament because of Y? Like that starts to get interesting towards.
And that's
March.
That's why I loved that they did that 16 team release. What was it? February of last year for the first time. Here are the top four seeds right now as we have it. I want to see them do that once a month, like maybe twice a month, starting in January.
Or even, I think it would be fun if they didn't do the top 16 team. If they did last. So it creates some drama, some buzz. So now you know which teams they're going to put those teams on primetime on ESPN, and there's going to be a drawed interest.
I'm with Ben. I don't care who the five. I don't care who the four seed is in the tournament. I care who that team is that's on the bubble. Because then,
yeah, I
want
to. Then
you start
to see heartbreak. I want to see heartbreak. I want to see like extravaganza, like the Northwestern.
Lenardi should do a bracket. I think Lenardi should do a bracket that becomes that. I think you need to like the college football playoff does. Have that committee show face every week.
That's I think two times a week. I think or two times a month, starting in January. Do it like.
Yeah.
Do it like the 10th and the 25th of each month.
Identify
like
some people that are synonymous with college basketball. Not these ADs and these presidents. Not these ADs. Give me, like, I want to see, let me, like, Penny Hardaway from Memphis. I want to see Memphis State's Penny Hardaway on there. I want to see people like that. I want to see, like, the Fab Five's Jimmy Jackson part of this. I want guys that are synonymous with college basketball. I want them in this thing, and they're getting paid to watch these games, and they're giving me the teams. I want, I'm not necessarily those guys, but people that are in this with us, people that are college basketball people. And there's better names. That's just off my dome. But I'd love to see that be the committee that comes together and rules on this thing.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is you need to find guys that are...
Those aren't the best names.
Right.
I was off the top of the dome.
Right, right. I agree with what you're saying. The key is finding the guys that are college basketball guys, not ADs, not NBA guys, not big names. You need college basketball guys.
Yeah, like, give me Mark Madsen. What's he doing now? He probably has a hedge fund somewhere.
He's,
like,
got to be back at Stanford.
I want Mark Madsen crunching numbers and doing this.
He's probably a professor at Stanford now or something.
Yeah, like, give me Brian Cardinal, like a guy you love to hate during the Big Ten slate back in the 90s. Like, put him on there.
Scott Martin was at Notre Dame for a decade. Get him back there.
Yeah, like, any of these guys. Give me AD. Give me Adrian Dantley. Like, throw him on there. Like, guys that generate some passion and, like, make you reminisce. Make basketball what it was in the 80s with the Big East. Lovable. Give me that love affair back with college basketball again. When Raleigh Massimino was rolling the sidelines. When John Thompson was a big, scary black guy that white people were afraid of. When Jim Boeheim was, like, the ornery nerd on the sidelines. Like,
oh, good thing we
Jim
still
Calhoun
have that.
Calhoun was the obnoxious Bostonian. I want that stuff.
I love Calhoun.
It's too bad the phrase "making something great again" is ruined, because "make college basketball great again" would be a great phrase.
Yeah, I just threw up in my mouth. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I know.
We absolutely cannot run with that.
No, I know. We got to think of something better than that.
But I think we might be. I think we stumbled onto something here in the 194th minute of the podcast here. Like, I think that's like, that might be it. Like, maybe we have a committee that, like,
have you had too much
all those
of us, George?
Good feelings, makes you reminisce.
Have you had too much of us?
No. I got nothing going on. My girlfriend.
Are you ready for the Bachelor in Paradise? Or
no, but
one
you
of
know
your
what's on tonight? You know what is on tonight? And that's why I'm going to get rid of you guys here in a little bit. Is This Is Us debuts tonight. And if you don't watch This Is Us, come on. You guys are missing out.
You and my wife can Skype about it later.
Get a good cry in on a Tuesday night. You'll feel better
not.
About yourself. It's like
you get
taking
your tub
a good
of ice cream ready.
Like, it empties you.
Do you get your tub of ice cream ready?
Yeah. I mean, you saw my body a few weeks ago. I can't put anything else in this. I actually have to. I'm tapering.
Is the diet already done? Or are you good? Are you rolling?
So, you know, ever since I saw you and you're like, you were coercing me to have a drink in the middle of the afternoon that day, like, and I ate like a meal I shouldn't have, I imploded. And then, you know, besides Bobby, oh, I gotta go, man. I've got this model shoot I gotta get to. This guy's a male model now.
Always drops the model.
I mean, I hope it's gotten him laid at this point. I really do hope. At this point,
my head doesn't even fit the screen.
No, mine really can't because I drink too much milk.
That honestly, though, you are more than free to go watch This Is Us. That's all we needed you for, Jordan. Thank you for coming, my friend.
Guys, can I get an opportunity to come back?
Absolutely,
for sure. For sure. We were supposed to preview and like do an actual preview with you. And I know you need some time to study up. You've been focused on MLB, NFL, college.
Cubs are clinching tonight, man, most likely.
Shout out to you for your gig with ESPN Chicago. He's also on The Jam for you Chicagoans from 6 to 8 in the morning on WCIU. Am I correct, Jordan?
Yeah. How miserable does that time sound? It's not fun getting up at 3:30 in the morning.
Oof.
It's not. I've watched it a couple times when I've been like, why am I up so early? What am I going to do? Randomly, I'm like, oh, I have a buddy who has a show on at 6 to 8, which is the most random time in the world. But props to you for getting the TV gig. I'll send you some good looks, and thank you for coming on.
Bobby, Ben, we need more of us out there, man. We're an endangered species. We need more college hoops heads. I'm happy to come on and talk hoops with you guys anytime. We got to figure this thing out, man. We got to save our game.
For sure. We can be the committee.
I love it.
All right, so that was our interview with Jordan Cornett. Again, he spent some time playing, obviously, at Notre Dame and is now in radio and TV in Chicago. So another perspective in the crazy, crazy shit that's going on today. And not just today, but really just college basketball as a whole. It started that way, and then we just kind of got into the state of college basketball.
Yeah, it turned into a state of the union.
Yeah, kind of. Either way, I'm still jazzed up for the season to start. I need to.
I'm jazzed up for more information and just like more.
Be ready, like, because news is dropping tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday. Be ready. News is coming tomorrow.
Let's do it.
My inbox is currently getting some stuff.
Yeah, you need to maybe turn that off.
Yeah. So again, thanks to Jordan for coming on. We're not going to leave you with too much. Obviously, it was a long interview with Jordan, which we greatly appreciate. Remember to mark down on your calendars. Friday, October 27th, we will be at Queen City Exchange. I'll be at Queen City Exchange. Ben won't be able to make that one. He'll be on Skype on the big screen, and we will have Rick Browering, who covers Xavier for a couple different sites, in studio there at Queen City Exchange with me. That's going to be our Big East preview. And then December 9th, Ben will be in town. You'll have both of us. We have some guests lined up. That's going to be a fun ass day, man. Like, I am so excited for that day. I'm dreading December 10th, though.
Yeah, that was exactly where I was going next, because of the news that you told me. One of the first things I asked was, like, what's the deal on drinks?
And there's
especially
drinks.
Driving all that way to Cincinnati, I will be enjoying myself to the fullest.
I would say you may need to fly. You may need to just do the hungover flight instead of the hungover drive.
Ooh, yeah, you're right.
Shorten it out, man. Shorten out the travel time.
Depends on where I am. Oh, gosh, this might be – let's keep it positive. Keep it positive.
Queen City Exchange, December 9th, literally all day. We're waiting for the tip times of Xavier, Colorado, and Florida, Cincinnati, but we will be there all day. We will be talking to people all day. We will be talking to ourselves all day. We will be gambling all day. We will be drinking heavily all day. There will be contests.
Someone just said an over-under on Bud Lights I'll drink.
That's a great one. Combined. How many?
Combined Bud Lights in a day?
Fundamentally sound.
Or should we set a target together?
Oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
The problem is,
come up with that line.
There'll be shots mixed in there too. Like, so it's like it's tough. But someone come up with a challenge for us.
Yeah, yeah. So again, Queen City Exchange, downtown Cincinnati, October 27th at 6:30, December 9th. Time to be determined, but it's going to be starting in the afternoon. Mark that down. Ben, any last words?
Nothing. I'm just anxious for more news, more scandals, more drama. I'm like, this is like the Bachelor in Paradise for us.
And it's right as the season gets started.
Yeah.
Like, practices start Friday.
Practice starts next Friday.
No, this Friday.
This Friday.
There are college basketball begins on September 29th. And then some Midnight Madnesses start October 3rd, or October 6th, and then October 13th.
Well, let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
We're here. We made it.
Next week, we are...
Episode 27.
We're a step ahead for episode 28. We have my guy Mike Rutherford. You find him on Twitter at Card Chronicle. He is coming on the show next week to talk. Who knows at this point, because who knows what's happening with Louisville. But Mike... is really, really knowledgeable. He actually just wrote a book called 100 Things Louisville that you should definitely check out, especially if you're a Louisville fan. It's 100 Things Louisville fans should know and do. And we'll be talking ACC and Louisville with him, obviously, next week, so stay tuned. Follow the show, Fundamentally SD on Twitter. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, anything and everywhere. As that's greatly appreciated. And we'll see you next week, unless something major happens the next couple days. We have to do an emergency pod, but let's hope that doesn't have to happen, right?
Yeah, because I will be at Bears-Packers on Thursday night, so...
So, hold off that news till the Friday news dump.
See you next week.